वासुदेवायाम् ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवायाम् ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवायाम् So we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 15. Text, actually I think not 22, because the text number 22 was given, read by Pancha Gaudapada yesterday, right? I think he took one more. So we are starting from verse 23. Is it? So... So, Tiviryo, Suro, Rama, He, Krishna, Kararupadrik, Atma, Tulya, Baler, Anir, Gyatibir, Bahubir, Vritah, Sotivirya Surorama He Krishna Kararupadrik Atmatulya Baler Anyer Gyatibir Bahubir Vridah Sotivirya Surorama He Krishna Kararupadrik Atmatulya Baler Anyer Gyatibir Bahubir Vritah Sotivirya Surorama Hey Krishna Kararupadrik Atmatulya Baler Anyer Gyatibir Balibir Vritah Bas? Okay. Saham He, Ativiryah, very powerful, Asurah, a demon, Rama, O Rama, He Krishna, O Krishna, Kararupa, the form of an S, Drik, assuming, Atmatulya, equal to himself, Balaih, whose strength, Anyeh, with others, Gyatibih, companions, Bahubih, many, Vritah, surrounded. Translation. O Rama, O Krishna, Dhanuka is a most powerful demon and has assumed the form of an ass. He is surrounded by many friends who have assumed a similar shape and who are just as powerful as he. Let's repeat. O Rama, O Krishna, Dhanuka is a most powerful demon and has assumed the form of an ass. He is surrounded by many friends who have assumed a similar shape and who are just as powerful as he. This text has no problem, so we take the next verse, 24. Should I repeat it? Repeat it, or just I go straight, okay. Tasmat krita nara harat biter nripih amritahan nasavyate pashu ganeh pakshi sangar vivarjitam. So skip the word meaning, yep. Okay, translation. The demon Dhanuka has eaten men alive, and therefore all people and animals are terrified of going to the Tala forest. O killer of the enemy, even the birds are afraid to fly there. Purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Srila Prabhupada. The cowherd boyfriends of Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram encouraged the two brothers to go and at once to the Tala forest and kill the ass demon. Indeed, here they address the brothers as Amitrahan, killer of the enemy. The cowherd boys were engaged in ecstatic meditation upon the potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and reasoned thus, Krishna has already killed terrible demons like Baka and Aga, so what is so special about this obnoxious jackass named Dhenuka, who has become public enemy number one in Vrindavan? The cowherd boys wanted Krishna and Balaram to kill the demons so that all the pious inhabitants of Vrindavan could enjoy the fruits of the Tala forest. Thus, they requested the special favor that the S-demon be killed. Shri Prabhupada ki Om Agyanati Miranda Sya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshir Unmilitanya Natasma Shri Guru Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yana Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadama Hyanda Dati Svapadam Tikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Sya Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Itam Tam Sajivam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadara Shri Vasiguru Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Намом Вишну Падая, Кришна Приштая, Бутая, Шримати Бхакти, Виданта, С вами Нитинамине. Намасте, Сарасвати Деви, Гауравани, Прашари, Нириша, Шишуни, Вайди, Пашити, Таштари. So here in the midst of the demons, who are there in the Bhagavatam, not Triamutras, of course, Ravans, other Nectarian devotees. So, and we have Krishna Balaram. And actually, there were so many kind words, nice words said by Pancha Gaudapur yesterday about the sweet atmosphere of Vrindavan, how these terrible demons come and disturb it. And I want just to give a different twist of the class. So there is one very unusual book by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's called, I think, Shri Krishna Samhita. Yeah. So there he describes how all these demons actually they personify anarthas, which like disturb our original Vrindavan atmosphere in the heart, because our hearts are supposed to be the Krishna seat place, like Radha Krishna Baithanstan, yeah. But because of these anarthas who are like personified by these demons, Radha and Krishna can't be there. We can't serve them in our hearts. So, and just to start with, let's like list the anarthas. Who knows what the anarthas are? Just, what is the definition of anartha? Who knows? What's anartha? Nobody knows? Yeah, please. No, Maharaj, you know. It's not fair. The others. What does anartha mean? What word? Louder. Yes, artha is like wealth and anartha is, that is unwanted. Okay. What anarthas do we want? They're our enemies, so we have to know our enemies to fight them, right? So what are the anarthas? Who knows the anarthas? Like some of them, please. They're innumerable, but what are some of them? Lust, okay, what else? Greed, what else? Anger, yeah, what else? Hatred, yeah. Envy. Okay, some of them. Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I think in the Bhajan Rahasya, the sound is okay? He lists four categories of anarthas. First are ignorance, and he lists four types of ignorance. I forget the sentence. Probably one is atma brahma. Yes, like that. So ignorance about the nature of the self. Another type of ignorance is ignorance about nature of the Lord. The third type of ignorance is ignorance about that what is sadhya sadhana brahma, what is the method, the process and the goal of devotional service. And another, brahma is something illusion about what are the obstacles, what is on the path of devotional service. So these are all kinds of ignorance. And actually this demon Dhenukasura, he personifies ignorance. We'll come to this point later. The second type of anarthas, I think it is asat trishna, so unwanted desires, which are not sat, which are not internal. So, and these are desires, for material opulence in this world, then just desire for going to the heavenly planets, desire for mystic cities, and desire for liberation. These are all kinds of asat trishna, like bad desires. Then the next kind of anarthas, I think it is Hridaya Durbalyam, so weaknesses of the heart. And he lists, I think, Pratishtha, pride. He lists the desires not related to Krishna, to devotional service. He Here is the kuchinarchi, which is like fault finding or duplicitous behavior, and here is the thing enviousness. And there is the fourth category of anarchy, I think, or apparatus. And here is four kinds of apparatus: Nama apparat, Vaishnava apparat, Seva apparat, and Jiva apparat. Actually, we shouldn't offend anybody. It's also an offense. It's also an artha. And all these are like general like categories of anarchas. We won't dwell on them now. And we'll just go to the other part. And actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur in this Krishna Samhita, Shri Krishna Samhita, he describes how all these different demons, they personify different anarchas. And Janaka S, what do you think, which kind of anarcha this S personifies? What are your ideas? What do you think? Just wake up.
Very low awareness.
Huh?
Very low awareness.
Yeah, low awareness. Yeah, ignorance, actually. S is a dull animal, actually. It's very dull. It's a very, very rude, like brutal animal. So on here we read that this jackass, he even ate man. You know, it's like very, very, it's a deep ignorance. So, and this is one of, there are two anarthas, which two demons, which were killed by Lord Balaram, actually, and this is one of them. So, and who knows who is Lord Balaram, except for he's standing here on the altar. Who is him?
Adiguru.
Yeah, he's Adiguru. He is the original spiritual master. He gives us spiritual strength. And so, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that all other anarthas, almost all of them, they can be destroyed automatically by just performing devotional service. But for this, we have to approach Guru, because Guru, he is giving us knowledge. And by knowledge, we can destroy ignorance, right? So, if you are ignorant, like we are all ignorant, then they go to the primary school, then to high school, secondary school, high school, then to the college, university, and so on. So, by learning from gurus, we can destroy ignorance. And the spiritual master, there are all different kinds of ignorance. So, there is material, and guru, spiritual master, he destroys the spiritual ignorance. Our unawareness about our eternal relationship with the Lord. So, now let's come back to these types of ignorance which we like listed in the beginning. So first of all, we are ignorant of who we are. I am a man, I am a woman, I am a temple president, I am just so many I, yeah? There's I am a businessman, I am a grihastha, brahmachari, so there are so many false identifications. Actually, they are our roles. It's not that they aren't true, they are true, but they are temporary. And this is not our nature. And our nature is Jivara Svarupa Hoi Krishna Nityas. We are all internal service of Radha and Krishna. And especially in Vrindavan, our mood is probably supposed to be, I just can guess this, we are supposed to be the source of Srimati Radharani. Yeah, like that. So it's we are Rupa Novis. But this will get revealed in the future. At this point, we are just servants of the servants of the servants of devotees of Srila Prabhupada, of our spiritual masters. So this is the basic ignorance. And you know, and if you go to this story, anyway, so and the spiritual master, and Srila Prabhupada in our case, and all our spiritual masters in our chain, they're all followers of Prabhupada. So their message is not different from Prabhupada's message. So we worship Srila Prabhupada as our acharya because he's great, he's so sweet, he's so kind. You know, if you look at Prabhupada's picture, I never saw Prabhupada. You know, I was born. Yeah, I was born before he left his body, but anyway, I was born in 1970. But can see his pictures. He's always smiling. He's so kind. So this kindness, he gives us spiritual knowledge. It's not like dry knowledge, like jnani knowledge. It's a different kind. Just like in humanities, the subjects, yeah, sciences. There are two, if you want to learn an object, some person, they have two approaches. One is like you treat him as an object, and one he treat him as a subject, as a person. Just to give an example, if say like in the West, not in the Indian culture, but there are arranged marriage. But in the West, if you want to build a relation with a girl, well, there are two kinds you can like know her more. One is like the object. You take her as an object. Well, you take her like to the like X-ray, like computer scanning, and you can see, oil. Oh, she has like kidney of this size, like liver of that size. She has some brain tissues like of this size. It's also some kind of knowledge, and maybe it's of some use, but not. But another thing, you can just give her some flowers, you can give her some like nice saris like that, and she'll reveal her heart. In the same way, we want to learn God in this way. We want to like investigate how he's like he created this universe, what kind of like guy he is, or what kind of something he is. Like usually God is impersonal if you try to learn him intellectually. But there is another way, just by serving him, but just present him some nice flowers here on the altar. By just doing something for him, the Lord, he'll reveal himself. It's a different kind of approach. And spiritual master, he is this kind of knowledge by the heart. I remember when I was a temple president in 1993, I was 93 years old then. I was a temple president in Yaroslav. And there was some man, I'm an intellectual just by nature. So someone came there and I started to explain him philosophy. And he told me, you know, you're speaking from your mind, not from your heart. And he was right at the time. So this knowledge is the knowledge of the heart, it's natural. And the spiritual master, he gives us this kind of knowledge. Not just philosophy. Philosophy is okay because it like strengthens our minds and intelligence. It helps us to guard against these anarthas. But the real knowledge is positive. It's knowledge about relation. It's very sweet. So we approach the spiritual master who gives us this knowledge, and it destroys another. So this was the first kind of knowledge, that we are like the eternal servants of the Lord, dasa. The second kind of ignorance the spiritual master destroys is that about the nature of the Lord. So many people, they don't have any idea about the Lord, just the best they can know that he's like he's the controller, he's the creator, and he's like we have to like you're his slaves, like in Islam, as well his slaves and servants. He forces us to serve him, like he's like very like terrific. But actually, he's not like that. He's very very sweet. He's like our father, and he loves us actually. And he's actually, you know, to serve the Lord is not a burden of duty, it's a burden of love, actually. We serve our friends, like brahmacharis, they don't have, like, wives, they serve friends, we serve the Vaishnavas. Like mothers and, like, fathers, they serve their children, we serve our parents. We're doing this out of love, like, ideally at least. We're supposed to do this like that. So it's a service, but it's not like a burden of, like, it's a hard burden, it's a burden of love. We like to do that. So actually, service of the Lord is a very natural thing. It's like very sweet and a very, very, very tender thing. So this is the kind of knowledge we get from the spiritual master. I remember when I was like young devotee, I think it was back in 1992, I was traveling with my spiritual master, Srila Gopal Krishna Maharaj, and I was just a beginner. So at some point I was thinking like, I'm doing all this stuff, getting up early in the morning, chanting my rounds, doing some practical devotional service. And I asked him, Guru Maharaj, actually, does Krishna really need this? And he like smiled so sweet and said, yes, of course. And it was it. It was it. This is the kind of knowledge the spiritual master gives. Like Prabhupada, he was so sweet. He actually loved all his devotees. So, okay, now the next kind of knowledge we are getting from the spiritual master is the knowledge, he destroys the ignorance about what is the sadha and sadhana. Sadhana is the way, like the path, the method, the process of devotional service, so getting to perfection, and sadha is perfection. Actually, even now I can see in this corn, there are so many weird ideas about what you have to do in order to like practice. Just some say that you have to like do full fast on Ekadash, and they stressed it so much. People don't chant in the 16 rounds. They say, no, you must do that. Or some people say that you have to do pranayama. Okay, there are some things about pranayama and Sanatana Goswamis, but still it's not the main thing. Like, so these all different stresses, like the devil is in details. So all these different stresses are actually stressed by the spiritual master. So Krishna consciousness is a very simple thing actually. It's based on Shravanam Kirtan, yeah? It's very simple. You just come and associate, and we drink this nectar through our ears, and we talk about Krishna, and it's so sweet. Like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that in order to give up the lower taste for like sense enjoyment, we have to get a higher taste. And this high taste we get like from these Bhagavatam classes. And it's very, very powerful methods, and it's very, 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 very intense. But you know, we have to do that. So, like, one drop of this is not enough. I mean, every day we drink, like, so we hear so much material stuff, like all this advertisement, all this like social interaction. It's like material taste. And if you think that we just come for once for the sandip and take one drop of this once a week or once a month, do you think that's enough? No. You have to like drink this nectar. You have to like go to Srimad Bhagavatam. You have to listen to Srimad Bhagavatam. You can't visit. It's natural. It's like reasonable. It's common sense. You have to get more of this taste. And this comes from Shravana Kirtan. And then will come Vishnu Smaranam. Then you'll be able to think of Krishna all the time. So, yeah, that's this is the sadhana. Sadhana is very simple. Just like we chant our rounds, get up early in the morning, come for come or listen or read Srimad Bhagavatam and associate with devotees and do the service. It's a very, very simple thing, actually. And Saturday is like love of God and not some impersonal liberation or all this kind of stuff. And the fourth type of ignorance, which is destroyed by the spiritual master, I think it is like illusion about what it is unfavorable of this, for devotional service. Like on the path of Sharanagati, of the path of surrender to the Lord, so we have to, I don't know what you have, we do, it's not that we have, it's natural. Like Dharma is things which is nature, it's not something we are forced to do. It's very natural, it comes like, it's our nature. So when nature accepts what is favorable for devotees, we reject what is unfavorable. And these unfavorable things are listed in, I think, in Rupa Goswami's Upadeshamrita. So who remembers this verse? What is what destroys the spiritual spirituals? Who remembers this verse? Nobody? Atyahara. What then? Atyahara then? Prayasasya, Prajalpo, Niyamagraha. Jana Sangha Shalom Desha, Shadbir Bhakti, Vinashati, not just Nashati, Vinashati, like total finished. So for these six things. Yet, what is Atyahara? Who knows what's that? What is Ahara? What is Atyahara? Atyahara. Yeah, too much, yeah. Not just eating, but just collecting, because, like, I forget, somebody explains this was that just about eating, he says in the previous verse, like controlling tongue, yeah, and stomach. It's too much. And then prayasa, what's prayasa? Yeah, what is the criterion of too much endeavor? So we are doing some endeavor. We have to endeavor to grihasas, to endeavor to like earn money. What is the criterion? What is the what is too much? What is not too much? What do you think? Which endeavor is enough? Even in practical service, we sometimes can over endeavor in practical service. So what do you think? What is the criterion of too much? Prayas. What's your idea? You have to be practical.
When you don't feel really happy and contented.
Well, it's very vague. I need something more specific. Okay, what are the other ideas? Yeah, when it affects our sadhana bhakti. When it affects our chanting, our serving, our like coming for the classes, when we are too busy for our basic sadhana. So these are criteria. These are like, in Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says that jnana prayasa, when we're too much into like studying all these shlokas or some other studies, like intellectual things, is good, but not too much because we become dry. Yeah, but this is good. It's not for everybody. Some like old ladies, they can't go through Bhakti Sarvabhauma or Bhakti Shastra. They're just too old for that. But they have a service mode. They're very nice devotees. You know, we have some like Satya Dasi. Yeah, she's like nice lady, but she's not into all this stuff. So like prayas is different for everybody. Some people have more capacity to more active, some less active, and everybody has like his quota of like prayas. So we don't have to over-endeavor. Even in practical service, sometimes we go into like different projects, and so that our sadhana suffers. It shouldn't suffer. This goes into prayas, so it should be balanced. Prajalpa, what's prajalpa? We all love this word, yeah? Prajalpa, what's that? Sweet prajalpa.
Huh? Mundane
talks. And actually, devotee, a real devotee, he doesn't have mundane talks. Like, you know, Prabhupada. When you read stories about Prabhupada, when he was a grihastha, They don't say that. They said that actually, well, while doing business, he was like talking about business, and it was not Prajapati because he's like he was all dedicated to Lord Krishna. So all these things related to like a business or like maintaining the family. If we all our life is dedicated to Krishna, it won't be Prajapati. But just some gossip, some like fault finding is surely Prajapati. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that like this fault finding is a clear Prajapati. Gossip is a clear Prajapati. We should avoid that, because it's very destructible. It destroys our service. So and just there's just idle talks. Well, there are some social talks that they're natural, but it shouldn't be too much. I mean, that the ladies may talk, they're talkative by nature. That's not the problem, but it shouldn't be too much. We shouldn't go into this much. Our mind shouldn't be absorbed in this prajapati. So in the heart, we should always think of Krishna. Niyamagraha, what's Niyamagraha? There are two translations of this word. Who remembers?
First is accepting the rules and regulations of Shastra only for the material.
Yeah. Yeah.
And second is not accepting the rules and regulations and just practicing the devotional service according to mental specification.
Yes. So Niyamagraha, there is like all long and short ara. Yeah. So first is that actually these rules and regulations, they're very nice actually. And we like think of like Raganuga Bhakti, something like Kadashi Bhava Manjaris, but that's not like that. Prabhupada, when he starts the chapter in the Nectar of Devotion about this Raganuga, he says that in the beginning we go for Srimad Bhagavatam, come for Mangalaricha out of duty, but then it comes naturally, out of taste. So this Raganuga. It's according to Prabhupada. So all these rules and regulations, they seem like bitter in the beginning, like all in the mode of goodness. It's actually a mode of pure goodness. And then it becomes sweet. So we'll be enthusiastic to come in the morning and just to do all our concept because it will be sweet. But in the beginning, we are doing it out of duty. That's the must. We must follow as the sadhana. And another thing is that we become like fanatic, and just because of these rules, we forget the relationship. Actually, the mature devotee, he relishes relationships. Yeah, you remember the definition. It's like Ishvare Tadadinishu Barishashi Dishatsuchara Prema Mighty Kripa Piksha Yat Karshu Samadhi. So Madhya Madhikari, he values relationship with the Lord, with the devotees, with the, like innocent people, and he just keeps separate from the envious people. So sometimes we go into these rules and regulations and we just break relationships, we just become harsh, and sometimes people come to the temple, new people, and they say, you sit like that, don't sit like that, you don't like do things like that, you become harsh. So it shouldn't be like that. We shouldn't do these rules and out of formality. So the essence of all these things are relationship with the deity, with the devotees, with the like public, so it's like that. And Jana Sangha, what's that? What's Jana Sangha?
Yeah, mixing
reality. Actually, we must interact with them, but for preaching. And just for business, that's okay. But we shouldn't take their mentality. We should give them our mentality. We should be strong. And for that, we need Guru Nishtha. We need like power from the spiritual master. Then we'll be strong and we'll give them our mentality, not take their mentality. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that Sangha means not just interacting, communicating. It means that we are doing this taste, like take their mentality. This we should avoid. But otherwise, if we don't associate with non-devotees, how can we preach? Well, we can preach to the devotees, it's nice, but you know, Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya wants to preach to the public, so we have to like associate with them, but we have to give them our association, not take their association. And lowly, what's lowly?
Too much grief from
greed, yeah, give me some pills for greed and more, yeah, like that. So we shouldn't be greedy for material things. Like we have some needs, that's natural. We have to eat something, and all these needs are different from different people. Some millionaires like devotees like Ambarish Fort, he has different like needs. That's okay for him. It's natural. It's not artificial. But some people like simple like man, they have different needs. We all have some needs, but we should be greedy for more material things. So these things are destructive. And the spiritual master, by his like sweet grace, but his like by his kindness, he destroys all these kinds of ignorance. He sets the example actually how to behave. And a spiritual master, he really loves us. And you know that some people think, like outsiders, they think that, well, one accepts a guru and he becomes like a fanatic, like he has to follow him and he's like that is not it. The relationship with the spiritual master have two kinds. They're like Vishramba, they're very close, they're intimate. They're Gaurav, they're respectful. So these are all emotions. So, and by like this attraction to the spiritual, by Guru Nishtha, by following the spiritual, so we can get rid of all this anatta, especially this ignorance. And we need Guru, and we need just like this idea of like having Prabhupada as a Guru and like all these Gurus are nonsense. That's not it, because you know, to learn something, we have to get a feedback. We have to get a feedback from somebody. We don't know how to go. So we make some steps and we check with the Guru. So am I doing right? He says, yes, you're doing okay. So then we continue. Oh, so he says, no, you're doing something wrong. So you go that way. So that like that. So it's very important to have a spiritual master. Like Adau Guru Padashya, without the spiritual master, we can't destroy the ignorance. And we go this way and that way, thinking this is spiritual life, that is spiritual, that's not spiritual life. And it's very clear. Like Srila Prabhupada said that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta made like path of devotions very, very clear, like very straight. So this is about this Renukasura. So they're just some thoughts, like maybe unsorted, but anyway, that's what I could think about that. Thank you. So maybe some questions, I'll be happy to answer. Yeah. Oh, thank you.
It seems like Krishna and Gaura boys were playing in a frivolous way with balls and joking and playing. Sometimes we frown on that or think it's mundane, you know, that the children shouldn't play too much. Can you say something about that?
Well, you know, actually, you know, you look at Lord Chaitanya's, he set an example. He played with devotees, they swam in the water. The idea is that Krishna consciousness is like, just like when we dance, sometimes we do this feet for life, like touching things, it's all placed, and it's fun. It's really, Krishna consciousness is fun. I mean, it's so much fun, like all this preaching is fun actually. It's so interesting, so enthusiastic. So she's not playing nature, and when we become divorced, we also become like children. So like preaching is also like a pastime, is like that, you know. It's natural. The Krishna is not, it's not dry, it's a very, very, very nice thing actually.
I have one more question.
Yeah.
So Guru has a big responsibility, and sometimes if the disciple has to ask the Guru about every little thing, Guru, am I doing this right, am I doing that right, or should I do this, should I do that? Or should the disciple be a little bit more introspective and just, you know, read the books and follow the program nicely without being overly eager for personal attention from his Guru?
You know, in ISKCON we have a very nice system, because Guru that can be everything for everybody. You know, he has, sometimes, you know, I traveled with my spiritual master for 12 years as his secretary. Very rarely I saw that the disciples can be the problem. Guruji, Guru Maharaj, I have problem. I don't have love of Godhead. No, like not like that. I have problem with my wife, I don't have money, I don't have that. So for this, we have temple presidents like you. Yeah. You know, I was a temple president. I know what it is. You know, I was a temple president. I know what it is. I was a regional secretary. So, but actually, we have a system of counselors. We have to be introspective. We have to be introspective, of course. But still, we need some guidance, some practical guidance. Just we can't do without that. Actually, it's very important.
Yes. So, in regards to Mahabodhi's question about being frivolous,
yeah.
I just this morning was listening to a lecture by Srila Prabhupada, and he decisively made it clear that a grihastha who may have a child, up until the age of five, that child is given freedom,
yeah,
to explore his surroundings, his relatives, and such as that. However, at that age, the boys began to worry. they would go out and take the young calves, and as all young children do, they will engage in games and different types of play. The difference is, like with Prahlad Maharaj, when he explained to his classmates that they should not waste their time in frivolous activities, but should concentrate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So with Krishna and all of his other boyfriends, their entire day, every second of their day was 100% absorbed in thoughts and thinking and serving Krishna. So they fulfilled their lives in this way. Always think of me, become my devotee, and I shall protect you. So Krishna protected just as he killed, in this case the woman that Nakasura was killed, so many other demons are going to be killed. That's Krishna protecting his friends.
Yeah, thank you. Actually, one small point. You know, I was a Gurukula headmaster for a couple of years. So when you deal with kids, you have to like be frivolous in Krishna consciousness. You have to like teach them by just you have to teach them in a playful way, because they're kids. They don't, and you, if you do it like that, you'll accept Krishna consciousness naturally. Like you just like, you know, remember the stories about Lord Nityananda. He played with his children. They like acted all the Krishna dramas, all the stories. So if you give, if you have a talent, it's actually, I'm not a like teacher. I can teach like elders. I can teach kids, because I. So if you can teach like children in a like playful way, frivolous way about Krishna, it will be the great thing. They'll accept that naturally. Yeah, but thank you. Yeah, sure. Of course, we shouldn't like do frivolous playing, but doing some nonsense. I hope somebody will like write like computer games about Krishna, because I mean, they're stuck to this like Minecraft, and so guys, let them build the temples, you know, with Minecraft like that at least. I hope my son is 23. I brought him here. He was born Krishna, but now he's like he likes Krishna consciousness, but he's not a devotee. Yeah, some other questions. Any questions? Maybe it's from some ladies. Oh, yeah, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, in the Gyan Adhyaya, Bhaktivinoda Kumara said that one must not write mundane novels, and one must not get knowledge from the newspaper and everything. And also, he said that I have heard in one lecture that one must not endeavor to build too many temples.
Not endeavor to what?
Too many temples.
To easy to build?
Yes.
Yeah.
But I get confused that it is a mood of Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada encourage the devotees to do the Bhakti Shastra course, to remember the shlokas, and to build more and more temples so that we can reach more and more. So I'm getting confused from these two things.
Utility is the principle, you know. If you want to preach to the people, you have to know what's going on in the world, you know. You have to know that. We have no taste for that. It's tasteless. But if you want to interact, you have to talk their language. You have to know how they work. That if you just live like a Babaji in this in the temple, no go out, you don't know how to talk to them. So people appreciate like intelligence, they appreciate knowledge. So it is good for preaching, like sannyas. It's forbidden in the sage, but it's good for preaching. You can take sannyas like that. So this, like, purity is the force, but utility is the principle. So we can do that, but we have no taste for that. When he mentions, it's stated in the Nectar of Devotion, you shouldn't build too many temples, because, it's over endeavor. It can be over endeavor. But you know, if you build the temples to attract people, it's for preaching. We can do that, but we should keep balance. You always should keep balance. You shouldn't do too much prayers. Jnana prayers like that, karma prayers, it can be prayers. Just, well, there are some, like, some organization, they built too many temples. They built temples that they're empty. Like, you shouldn't do like that. You should do more Buddhist version.
A little more clarity on this point here.
Thank you.
The idea behind building temple is to facilitate a place where people can go to get inspired and learn about spiritual life. However, in most religions, they build churches, they build mosques, they build different so-called religious structures, but all during the week these places are empty, and the people that may go there occasionally, they do not take advantage of the lessons that were being instructed by the ministers or the priests. We know that, what did Lord Chaitanya say? In every town and every village. So this means that there are not enough temples. We need more temples, but along with temples, we need devotees.
Yeah.
And we need these people who are going to follow the instructions that are given to us by the acharyas, by Srila Prabhupada, given to us in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and follow them. Then there is no limit to how many temples. Every house, your house, my house, is a temple.
Yeah, thank you. It's a very nice point. We have to build them and fill them with devotees. Thank you, Prabhupada. That's great. Thank you. So, yeah. We have maybe the last question we have to finish. Yeah, please.
There's no limit. Similarly, correct me if I'm wrong, but when it comes to the bhakti scriptures, when it comes to hearing Bhagavatam, there is no limit. If some devotee feels inspired and doesn't have any responsibilities other than that, to, for example, read Srila Prabhupada's books all day long, if I recommend that there's one time Prabhupada said, this devotee, you can read my books all day long if you want. I don't think
it's all not about Prabhupada's books, it's about other things. You know, some people go into all different Puranas and this and that. This is not necessary, actually. It might be, if you preach to academics, maybe you need to know, read all some Skanda Purana with 200,000 verses. Maybe. But generally, that there is no limit of reading Prabhupada's books. I read them, I think, 3 or 4 times. No limit about that. Prabhupada's books are exception. It's not about this. I think that's it. We have to finish. Yeah? Prabhuji. Very Maharaj. Anyway, you're the temple president. I think we have to finish.
Okay.
At 9 o'clock. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Gaur Premanande.